The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You were so good at like being this good guy. It's almost like you just now read the script and said you're going to be bad.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by Barrett Scher from Music Video Sins.
Hello.
And guesting for Jeremy Scott today is Jonathan Watkins.
Yay!
What up?
He guested with us last time at what? Fantastic Beasts was the last
time,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. But today we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
Of Get Out, a movie that made a ton of money on its first weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily surprising. It had a great marketing campaign. And you saw trailers for this forever.
Yeah.
And then the fact that it was actually getting great reviews was a huge help to it as well.
Especially for a February movie.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, these movies usually aren't very good.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things where you find out that when a movie's good, people will actually go see it. It's so weird.
I know.
You know?
So strange. By the way, as an aside, I keep hearing a lot of good stuff about The Cure for Wellness, but it's got terrible reviews. Like, overall. Like, have you seen that?
I have not. It's like 2.5 hours, and I don't know. I usually don't pay attention to reviews, but for some reason, I haven't been able to get myself out to see it. I'll see it eventually.
It's like people who really like horror really like Cure for Wellness.
That's what I've heard. But it just sounds like something I'm not going to like.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure. I actually...
Whatever it is.
I was actually curious about it, and I was like, well, it's not doing well, so I better watch it. It's gone. It's gone in Nashville. 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks, and it was gone. That's all you had.
Great trailers.
Yeah, great trailers. It looks awesome. Anyway, we're going to be talking about Get Out, the movie directed by Jordan Peele, of all people.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was another exciting thing about it. If you watch Key and Peele, they were able to do, even in their comedy stuff, they were able to do some really cool things with horror.
Yep.
In a lot of the show and everything. So I wasn't terribly surprised to see him coming up with this, like, just awesomely done horror movie. Okay, so we're gonna do the non-spoiler version of this first. What did everybody think?
Man, first of all, for a first-time director in features, it's pretty expertly shot, don't you think?
Oh yeah.
Every perspective is really striking. The close-ups are super close up, and it adds so much to the suspense of the moment. Man, I thought this was really impressive. Visually, everything is really well done, but just the way that he shoots this lets you know that, like, this is a guy that gets it and, like, it really appreciates that kind of shit, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I loved this movie. I don't know how else to say it. And it's a very well-shot movie. It's also a very smart movie, and we'll get into this more in spoilers probably, but it has a lot of shit to say, a lot of important shit to say, but it doesn't beat you over the head with it.
Yeah.
It's definitely got that screenwriting 101 thing where it's like, you know, you don't write a message movie. If you tell a good enough story and you tell an honest story, all those things will come out, and you definitely get that in this movie. He's got a lot on his mind. He gets it out there, and it's perfect. And on top of all that, it works as a horror movie. It works as a thriller. It's pretty scary at times.
It is.
It definitely makes you makes you cringe, makes you jump at the right moments. It's a very, I hate to use that word, it's kind of Hitchcockian. He plays out the thriller elements as good as anyone I've seen in a long time.
You just wanted to say cock.
I did. I always just want to get cock in
there. One thing that I think was brilliant, by the way, and we'll get into the dude's performance, but I thought it was great that Jordan Peele didn't play the lead character.
Yeah.
They cast that perfectly. Yes, and I think that would have been distracting.
It would have been very distracting. Yeah. This movie, without getting into the spoilers, plays on your expectations quite a bit. And I will tell you right off the bat, one of the scenes in the beginning of it is your straight up like horror trope where they hit a deer. Yeah. And it's like it's one of those jump scare type moments. But that is not the point of that scene whatsoever. And that's one of the things that's great about it. It really sort of sets the stage. A scene like that, at first you're like, what was that all about? That had nothing to do. It has everything to do with the movie you're about to watch.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with it. And that's why I loved it. Like, because at first I was like, oh, come on. I really said that.
It's the ring too.
Yeah. I was it's the ring too.
It's like a cat jumping out or something. You're just like, what is this? And even going back further, the opening scene of the movie with the guy walking down the dark street and then the car behind him. And that ends up having, obviously, a lot to do. And what's so funny is that character ends up, you know, becoming a little more important later. And I completely forgot that he was even in that scene because I was so invested in the movie.
And that's and this is briefly, he's not the main guy.
Oh, not at all.
Lakeith Stanfield, who is in Atlanta, and he was Snoop Dogg in Straight Outta Compton. He's so good, and this is a guy, seriously, you guys are going to have to look out for at some point. I swear he's going to be huge someday because he's so good in everything I've seen him in.
Yeah, I've got to see Atlanta. I've heard nothing but great
things
about that. That's Donald Glover, right?
Yeah, it's Donald Glover. He almost steals every episode he's in or scene, at least scene he's in, he steals it because he's just so funny in it. But how good he is that the very beginning of this movie, he's talking on the phone, everything's normal and everything, and he's so different by the time you see him again, you're like, is that even the same person?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I forgot.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally forgot.
Yeah.
And Walter Henderson and Betty Gabriel, Marcus Henderson and Betty Gabriel, they play Walter and Georgina.
Mm-hmm.
They also steal a lot of scenes, especially Betty Gabriel. I've never seen her before, to the best of my knowledge, and she tore it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of good acting in this
movie. I love Bradley Whitford, man. This guy.
Oh, well, that, what a, he's my happy place.
Yeah. I mean, what a career this guy's had playing these type of characters, but he's always finds a way to sort of make them different each time. You know, the first time I ever saw him was Billy Madison.
Yeah.
And then he went on to do West Wing and then, you know, he's in Cabin in the Woods and all that, which is perfect jumping off point to this movie and everything.
It's great that Cabin in the Woods, this will kind of sum up his ability, is in Cabin in the Woods where he's talking about, you know, I was almost starting to root for her. And maybe she would have, oh, tequila is my lady.
Yeah.
Like, great.
Yeah. I mean, all around, we all like this, right? I would.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess we should talk about the main guy, Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah, yeah.
He's phenomenal in this. Yep. So I'd seen him in Black Mirror episode, which he was also terrific.
Yeah, he was. I didn't know he was this. Like, I mean, he's good in that show, but that episode. That might actually be my favorite episode. It's pretty close.
Yeah, it's great. That's
a really
great
good episode. I believe it's the second episode of the first season for those who haven't watched that show before.
It's the one where they're exercising and they're getting points basically to buy stuff.
And they're doing that American Idol type show.
Yeah.
But that's almost a nearly silent performance in that episode. And so I didn't realize like how awesome this guy was. And he just communicates. So this is something that's not spoilery, but like he's got this distrust on his face almost from the beginning and all the way through. It's from like the minute she says, oh, we're going up. And he's like, do they know that I'm black? Mm-hmm. And then she says, no, it's no big deal. And he gets that look of like, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And he has it the whole way through.
Well, there's actually a scene in that Black Mirror episode where, like you said, they get points and then they have to spend them. And then they're like, there's all these different shows that come on their TVs. And if they don't have enough credits, they're kind of forced to watch something.
Yeah.
And there's like this, I guess, sexually provocative show that he always tries to skip past.
Yeah.
But he's trying to save his points. And there's like this scene where he just gives in and decides to watch the porn or whatever. And like you said, he's got, it's just, it's all in the expression. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd be like a great silent film guy. Like, he's just that good. But in the movie in Get Out, he just, there is that distrust there. But then what you end up finding out is, like, the one thing he doesn't distrust kind of ends up being his downfall.
True. Yeah, yeah.
It just reminds me, his whole performance. Did you guys see the Dave Chappelle SNL episode right after Trump won?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got that same look on there where he's in the monologue. He's like, y'all were saying, like, this was going to happen. This was going to happen. But I know the whites.
Yeah.
Well, there's that whole bit.
Whole thing reminded me.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's that whole bit where Allison Williams is kind of trying to warn him about her dad, about Bradley Whitford. Allison Williams, I'm sorry, plays his girlfriend, who's also very good. She's in, most people know her from Girls.
Mm-hmm.
She gives a very good performance. Everybody gives a good performance in this movie. We haven't even talked about Catherine Keener.
Yeah.
But she talks to him about how her dad's going to tell him that he would have voted for Obama for a third term.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that happens.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful scene.
Yeah.
Like, you know, his reaction to it is probably the best part about it. He's like, I agree with you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and really that's funny. That's the type of stuff that we don't consider racism. Like when somebody says, I would have voted for Obama for a third term.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to prove yourself to another black person that mm-hmm. you're really into their culture and everything like that, it's like saying stuff like that. But there's even another level deeper that they get into this.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the surface of the stuff that's going
on. But what's funny is when you find out what's going on, though, all of that means something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, like it's insane.
Yeah. Right.
The whole thing is a play on like the quote, good liberal.
Yeah.
Like
the
white liberal, the ones that aren't supposed to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brilliant way to put it.
Yeah. You did mention Marcus Henderson and Betty Gabriel, who are great in this. I don't know if I've seen performances like this before. Mm. It's like, of course, they're going through some stuff that I don't know if we've ever really seen it. There's one movie I could maybe compare this to, and it's not really anything due to their performances. Also, Lil Rel Howery is great in this.
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, we forgot about him.
Yeah. He's the comic relief of the movie.
Like, and I feel like I shouldn't like him. Like, when it started, I'm like, oh, this is just going to be, they're trying to force some comedy. But it completely works. Like,
yeah.
It's not forced comedy at all. Like, this guy's legit. He's really trying to help his boy, you know?
Yeah.
And, and his stuff towards the end is awesome.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite moments in the movie. But Betty Gabriel, there is a scene in this, that scene that's in the preview, for those of you who've seen the preview, where she's got a tear coming down her eye and she's going, no,
mm-hmm.
no, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
That scene is so intense.
Yeah.
And that scene creeped me the fuck out.
Yeah. Because
that's when you still don't know what's going on.
Right.
You have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. You're like, what the?
Yeah.
That scene is unreal.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love this movie.
Oh, I know. And you know, like we said, that's just the surface.
Yeah.
This movie has a little bit deeper to go into. Like, it would have been easy to just say some of these, like, random things that white people like to say. You know, like, I have many black friends and stuff like that. Those type of things that, you know, sort of been trained to say or mm-hmm. whatever over the years to make it look like I like everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's... just the surface, and that's what's great about this. That's not all it has to say, but I am ready to get into some spoilers.
Let's do it, baby. We all
liked it. I would say A.
Oh yeah,
straight up.
Oh yeah, straight
I wouldn't
up
even
A.
say A minus.
This is something that you should really see. This is a huge recommend, I think. For
yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're getting into spoilers now.
Basically, is Kaiser Sose.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just
believe that. No. I'm reading the books.
And then Barrett's going to play all the spoiler shit when we. He's like, no. In fact, that one episode of Key and Peele always goes on there. No. I'm reading the book.
Exactly. Is that what that's from?
Yeah.
Hey, I really wanted to know what that was from.
It's this dinner party where they're sitting outside and they can't talk about anything.
I remember that now. Oh, that
did
was
you
great.
See the news last night where there was this killing? And she, no. I haven't seen it.
Did you hear about the weather tomorrow? No. Not watched the news yet.
Okay, so getting into spoilers. I talked about earlier the scene with the deer that they hit.
Mm-hmm.
In almost every horror movie, it seems like people driving down the road, they hit a deer or something like that. Or they hit a person, mm-hmm. or they hit something. You know, you mentioned The Ring, too. That was immediately what came into my mind. I was like, oh, come on. What that scene is about, though, is about the cop who comes
yep.
later on.
Yep.
The cop comes, and the Daniel Kaluuya character is... He's ready to just, here's my ID.
Even though he wasn't driving.
Yeah, he wasn't driving. Yep. He's like, here's my ID, blah, blah, blah. And Allison Williams is like, this is bullshit. You don't need this ID. Whatever. It's like, well, if there was ever an incident, he's like, that's total fucking nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, she's sticking up for her man there and everything. But that's what that's about. That sets up a lot of things right off the bat. First off, it makes you trust Allison Williams.
Yep.
And the other thing is, she doesn't have to deal with the bullshit that he does.
Mm-hmm.
She's like talking back to a cop and yeah. has absolutely there's no repercussions from that.
Mm-hmm.
When meanwhile, he has to be quiet. He has to hear, yes, sir, officer, and yep. all this other type of stuff. That's what I loved about that opening scene.
And it's the expectations. He just knows this is the drill.
Yeah.
Like, not even questioning, like, this is the best way to make this moment end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sneaky, like, kind of powerful.
Yeah.
And that saying, like, hey, by the way, this is shit that happens.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, then, and then also, the other layer, when you find out what's going on, you realize looking back at that, also, you could look at that she did not want a paper trail.
Yeah.
If the cop sees his ID, he's right. in the system, he was there, and they can't have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, another thing that I immediately thought of, and I know we're bouncing around a lot, but when you get to the very end and Rod's car pulls up with the lights
yeah,
and everything,
yeah, yeah.
that sets me up to think that's that fucking cop
I
and
know.
He's going to fucking kill.
Yeah.
Which is great because in any other, guy. In most 90% of movies, it totally would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, and then he would have seen the scene.
Yeah.
He would have been like, well, that's he it. Must have
and,
done it.
And yeah. I thought this was going to be like Night of the Living Dead, the original, where, you know, where they end up shooting the guy because they think he's a zombie
mm-hmm.
and kind of a reversal on that. They think he's the murderer. I thought for sure that's what was going to happen. And then it ends up being something completely different, mm-hmm. which was awesome.
And that's what's great about this movie, first and foremost, is that you think that you know where this is going. Even right when you start seeing the fucked up shit where you see Bradley Whitford and all these white rich white people bidding yeah. on him, bidding on a photo of him
mm-hmm.
While he's gone somewhere. And you think, oh, OK, so they have reinstituted slavery.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what you think it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not that
yeah.
even. because
oh,
it has
so
another big, huge.
Up.
Yeah, it's way more fucked up. They had. And this is where I got to the point where I was like, this is a little bit like being John Malkovich. Where,
oh, yeah.
And for those of you who are listening to the spoiler, you've either seen this movie or you don't care.
Yeah.
The big surprise about this is that they are bidding on these people to be young again and basically be strong. Like, now, here's my question. The one guy says black is in, mm-hmm. basically, and you don't know what that means at first. You just think they're just, this is another part of that whole surface thing.
Yeah.
Where everybody's just saying those things that they don't think are racist, yeah. but whatever. Yeah. And the one guy's like, well, black is in. And it's yeah. like, and the one guy's like, Tiger Woods is my favorite golfer.
I know
and
Tiger,
all,
man.
Yeah, yeah. And all that. And I know him. Yeah. And all that stuff. The movie makes it sound like it's not a racial thing. It's more about them finding the strongest and the most popular and the and right now is what they feel like are black people are the most popular and the strongest, and that's who they're jumping into, basically. So yeah there's a procedure where they're going inside their bodies and taking control of their bodies.
And, I mean, they don't go too deep into it, but I think they're also looking for people that don't really have ties. Because, you know, his parents have both, well, his dad's not in the picture. We don't know what happened to him. His mom died when he was a kid.
Right.
So he really had, although somebody raised him, but maybe they're not around. They don't really get into that. But I'm assuming that's part of it.
Yeah. The Lakeith Stanfield character.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Doesn't have any ties.
Yeah.
In fact, when
God, that scene's so funny when they find out, when they figure out who he is.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. when the character Rod goes on to the internet and finds all the stuff with Andrew's mm-hmm. information and everything. There's a bunch of stuff saying like a jazz, was it a jazz musician?
Mm-hmm.
His jazz musician is missing. Where is he or whatever? But there's not any like family, like, you know, where is this guy or whatever? He is talking to somebody on the phone at the beginning. I thought he was looking for somebody in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it may have been like a friend or because he was going to a party.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he just didn't have a lot of close friends or whatever, but I don't know.
Well, when they do, to go to your point about them selecting, you know, them for their genetic material and everything. By the time you get to the end of this, I don't know if you guys did this. My brain started going back to all the little clues. It was almost like Sixth Sense-ian.
Yeah,
you
for know? Sure.
Where I was like, oh, well then, you know, that the crazy brother was talking about with your genetic material combined with my training, like I could really like make an MMA fighter out of you. And then all these things.
Well, then at
fucking Steven Root saying, I love your eye. You've got a great eye. You know, things like that. Playing another blind character, by the way. It's like Jordan Peele found
Oh,
Brother Where Art Thou and said, Stephen Root, blind. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Well, and they're sizing him up, too, at the party, at the get-together. They're like, those women
they're
are
so
grabbing
obvious
him
about it. So
asking
obvious.
If it's true about, you know, black guys' dicks.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and leads to another great scene. When he goes up the stairs, they all stop.
Oh, that was chilling.
Oh, my God. They all stop and listen to him as he climbs the stairs, and it's like, holy shit.
Speaking of, going back to the brother real quick, though, is Caleb Landry Jones not the creepiest-looking motherfucker?
He is.
Like, I have a hard time looking at him. And it's like every movie he's been in, it's like X-Men First Class.
Yep, and The Exorcist, that Exorcism movie. Was it Exorcism of Emily Rose?
I think so.
What is that movie?
Last Exorcism.
The Last Exorcism. Yeah. The one that's like found footage or whatever. Yeah. And he's like the first guy.
Because he gets stabbed in the face or whatever in that movie. And he doesn't look much different than he does without a knife in his face.
Yeah.
He's just, oh God, he's just creepy. Sorry, man.
But yeah, like the people we see around the grounds, the black people that Bradley Whitford like is quick to point out,
I know it looks bad,
but you know, they were here before and we didn't want to fire them and blah, 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 blah.
But what you find out about them, because he makes the comment that they were taking care of my parents.
Right.
And then when my parents passed, you know, we felt bad getting rid of them. And then you find out they're his fucking parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and then that's another thing. Like, there was, we are jumping around, but like, you know.
That's the way this movie is.
I know, that's true. Mm-hmm. But the Marcus Henderson character, you know, like, there's all these great bits where when Daniel Kaluuya, when he first gets to the house, Bradley Whitford's showing him around and he shows that picture of his dad and saying, you know, my dad lost at the Olympic pre-trials to Jesse Owens.
Right.
And then when you find out Marcus Henderson actually is that dude, and there's that one scene where he's running, which this is also the preview, where he's running. I mean, you think about the Jesse Owens thing.
Yeah.
And, there's also the bit where Bradley Whitford's talking about how he hates deer.
Oh, right off the bat.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then off the bat. Yeah. And then and it's so weird. Like, that was a weird scene. And then he gets killed by a fucking deer antler being shoved up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, and another thing about that scene, he's talking about Jesse Owens, it's almost subliminal. He says, yeah, he almost got over it.
Yeah.
Is what he says.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot he talks in like the present tense.
Which at the time was just like one of those little things where you think like, oh, well, that's just a casual racist remark.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. But it ends up, man, the layering in this movie, I want to see it again.
Yeah, I know. It's a movie that does demand probably a few more viewings because, like, you guys are even talking about just on the first viewing, all the little clues that come through there. And how many are you going to be able to find now that you know what's going to go on and everything? That's really the mark of a great movie, I think. You know, there's nothing in this that's wasted.
Mm-mm.
There's nothing in here that, you know, like, you know, you're talking about the running and everything. It's stuff like that. There's no inconsistency in the story at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, I did wonder why the Lakeith Stanfield character just basically gets kidnapped instead of going through all the other stuff that she dates, like, 12.
So apparently both of them are trying to get these recruits, these new recruits, the brother and the sister.
Mm-hmm.
His method is to incapacitate them. Her method is to woo them.
I was wondering, that makes sense if it was the brother. Yeah. I was wondering about that.
And there is a scene, I guess they get into the brother's car because that's where you see the mask in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
that is something that I did not catch. I was like, I thought she wore the mask.
Well, because it's so quick. The only thing that I thought was a little bit odd was that the video that they show him later on is the grandfather saying, this is the process that we've you know, developed and everything. Mm-hmm. The fact that they later say, like, well, black is in, and that's why we want to do all this and everything, it makes you wonder how long they've been doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, are there white people that have been inceptioned like this?
And I wonder that
over
too, because
you
actually only see three African Americans there that have already been transformed for sure.
Right. And that's what I was getting at as far as the racism in this. That, you know, it's easy to call this some, like, if you're white, to say that it's racist against whites, that all white people must think this and that. And it's like, no, this is just this group of white people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say anything about all white people. It says these group of white people are.
Yeah.
But
that's why it's cool, though, is that it doesn't set up the big white redneck boogeyman. It sets it up as the people that you think are cool with it.
Right.
Although that does not apply to everybody. It's a different subset than we're used to seeing.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think that there had to have been like white people that they've gotten into before, too. Maybe not. Maybe.
Well, and there is that part which this is the one part I was kind of like, oh, that was contrived a little bit, but where he finds the pictures that were just so conveniently in that little room.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of guys. I mean, there's probably 8 or 9 pictures, and you do see Marcus Henderson, you do see Georgina.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guys, I don't know where they came from. Yeah, where right. They went, where they did they not work?
By the way, the convenience of that, I would thought about that a lot. I think it was the
not enough to bother me.
I thought it was the what's her name?
Georgina.
I thought it was Georgina that the slim part of her wanted to open that door so he could see and get.
He still has to like it. Notice the door and then be willing to go snoop around in it and everything. I don't know. I mean, maybe so. Because
it was open earlier in a shot.
Oh, really?
And he looked at it for a second and like shut it.
You know, I will say, though, what's good about that, though, what the pictures don't allow is him to just escape.
Mm-hmm.
If that was a situation where he was like just dead meat. And then he goes and sees the pictures and runs out. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
He comes back down and, you know, he keeps trying to plead with Alison Williams to like, get the keys.
That's so great.
And then, you know, she's, you know, I'm not getting the keys, right?
Yeah.
You know,
which was a great moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I felt stupid too. And I was like lured in by her hotness, I guess, because I really still at that point, well, maybe she didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's possible she didn't have anything to do with it.
There was one moment where I finally just realized she had to be in on it. And it was, I think it was because I saw all these other people who were imprisoned basically, walking around. And I was like, there's no way that she didn't know about all of this stuff if they are recruiting black people to come to their house. She has to know that.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, they're all like bidding on him and everything. I was like, there's no way they were just casually dating and they didn't know.
Where did they get that picture, by the way? That was like a huge picture, and he was like, look, I mean, it was like a pose. Like, he was looking up.
I'm just assuming that Alison Williams provided him with the picture.
It's kind of funny
because later she's looking up NCAA athletes.
And
it just made the moment even more fucked up, because that whole scene was weird, because, you know, it's like supposed to be bingo, but it's like no bingo you've ever seen, where Bradley Whitford's making these weird hand motions and then people are just raising cards, and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So the last nitpick that I had is my biggest one. Hypnosis doesn't work like that, by the way.
No, yeah. Yeah, I think
I never believed it did.
No, I mean, obviously hypnosis in every movie we've ever seen, exactly. It doesn't work that way.
I mean, scraping the teacup and everything.
I mean, really, is the only one that's even close Donnie Darko that has the right hypnosis, like where it's...
Yeah. Like yeah, that's very close. Yeah.
Because that's...
His reaction is over the top in that movie.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of how it works. It's a subtle relaxation, and
but this is a good movie hypnosis.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it gives her a magical ability, is what I'm it does. What I'm saying is that yes, it's necessary for the plot, but
well, and
yeah.
I didn't because there's that part where Steven Root's talking to him, and so the idea was that she was gonna have like his soul, I guess, if you want to call it, like trapped.
Mm-hmm.
So he was still there, so the body could function.
Yeah.
But it would be like 95% the person that took over.
Yeah, apparently there had to be some
Keener
sort of...
Catherine Keener plays this role, by the way, which is really cool, because I hadn't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
And she's great.
Oh, yeah, she's always great.
I love Catherine Keener. But
being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
But that was another scene, and I actually read about this, but there's a scene early on, too, when they just got there, and they're having tea, and Georgina, something comes over her, and then... Catherine Keener taps the glass.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah.
she's back. Because remember, she's pouring the tea.
Right.
And then she's back. Because there's this whole thing that occasionally their bodies can take over, which ends up being what saves his ass at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, another thing I read that was kind of, like, this, I love movies like this, where you can just, because who knows if any of this is actually true, but, like, there's that scene where you were talking about Allison Williams was looking up NCAA players, looking for her next victim. And she's sitting there casually, eating Fruit Loops out of a bowl, but there's no milk in there, and she's got a glass of milk next to it that she's sipping from a straw like a little kid.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote that they thought that was interesting because you had white over here and then you had colored here.
Like, oh. It was all set.
I think that's probably a little too much, but it's still, like I'm saying, that's the kind of movie this is.
Well,
where you're looking into everything, and everything makes you think.
I've gotten to the point after watching Key and Peele and watching this movie
that's true.
Have a feeling that was on purpose.
And that's very possible.
Yeah.
Because even Key and, I mean, they're brilliant. If anyone has never seen that show, watch it immediately, because even in the skits that aren't very good, you can still like see all the intelligence behind them. And at least you can see what they were going for.
Yeah.
And thankfully, this movie is one of the good things where, you know, he goes for it and it just works 100%. Yeah. I think he's, and like Keanu is a good example of something they went for and I don't think really worked.
Yeah.
For me.
Same here. I did not like it.
So it'll be really interesting to see what either one of them do as far as what they actually create moving forward. Not just what they're acting in. But
you can see like in Key and Peele just how many like little details and everything. They're obvious huge movie fans, especially even.
Oh my God,
especially even in the silly like Dorman skits that they always did.
Oh, Liam Neeson's?
Yeah, Liam Neeson's and like, you know, and then Sandra Bullock's and all that stuff.
Yeah, they're saying something just a casual movie fan wouldn't know. Like they're getting really deep into that.
Yeah, and it's really easy to say, these are a couple just dumbasses or whatever, and then like, but the stuff that they're saying, like you're saying, is just like, okay, they have a really deep knowledge of movies. This isn't just a silly sketch. It is a silly sketch, but it's not just a silly sketch. But yeah, I mean, just all that stuff, and Jordan Peele is directing this movie like we would see like Kubrick do a movie like this. And Kubrick, of course, almost everything that he ever did, like it demanded you to see everything going on in the frame. There's nothing for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a quirky thing. She's dipping Fruit Loops in the milk.
Yeah.
That's the reason why that stupid ass Shining documentary exists.
Room 2.
Yeah, exactly. Where everybody is like, giving these really wild interpretations.
And like I said, that scene, it is very possible that's a layer to it. But you could take away so many different things. Like what I took away from that, like I said, was that it was kind of like showing her in more of an innocent light because she was eating Fruit Loops like a kid and drinking milk out of a straw while at the same time searching for the next dude she was basically going to kill.
Yeah.
And it was really creepy, you know. That's the kind of atmosphere this movie has.
Yeah, here's a really really super 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 nitpick. It has nothing to do with the enjoyment of the movie at all. I hate it when in movies where the secret is out and suddenly people start casually referring, like in this case, Allison Williams pulls out the gun and tries to shoot Daniel Kaluuya and all this, and then is it her grandfather or whatever? She just casually says grandpa, and everything like that.
Go get him, grandpa. She says something like that.
Yeah, go get him, grandpa. And it's like I know that you're that good that you haven't like accidentally let that slip.
Yeah.
But that sounds like something that you should have accidentally let slip a few times. Yeah. Well, so casual.
And that almost felt like a studio note. Like that. I don't know. I have no idea. But that felt to me like something they kind of threw in because mm-hmm. they were saying, you know, test audiences or something. I don't know if they tested this, but I'm just assuming they did. Test audience that we didn't really get that was the grandmother.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Even though, and I don't, because she was kind of like freaking out, but when he has Georgina in the car, doesn't she say something like, you killed my son? Or she says something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does.
Yeah. But you don't know at that time, you know, what she's talking about.
Yeah.
But then you think back and you're like, yeah. But yeah, the go get him grandpa, that actually reminded me. Did you see that Texas Chainsaw 3D from, you saw that, didn't you? With
Alexander Daddario and all that. Yeah.
There's a part at the end where she finds out she's related to Leatherface.
Oh yeah.
And she tosses the chainsaw to him and says, go get him, cuz.
Oh yeah, that's the worst. Oh, so bad.
And this is nothing like that, but that did make me think of that. So I completely get what you're saying. It kind of took me out of the moment.
Yeah, like they do this a lot in like movies and TV shows. Like I remember in 24, and there's a season where one character is good the entire season, and then like halfway through it, like there's a reveal that he's actually behind it and everything, and like all of a sudden everything he starts saying is like dickish and villainous and everything, and it's like, you were so good at like being this good guy. It's almost like you just now read the script and said you're going to be bad.
And you're sitting there, and a lot of the times it's also like only like Jack Bauer would know. Like not necessarily everybody else knows, but you act like you just give your shit away. It's like you could just kill Jack right now and you could just keep on going.
Right, right, exactly. Like it never makes sense when those things happen.
Well, even one of them was like, I don't know why we get off of 24, but Tony Almeida ended up being a bad guy like 4 years later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's been a good guy for 4 years, and then all of a sudden he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's been doing all this secret shit all this time. It is a movie that I think all of us in here could talk about forever, mm-hmm. and it is easily the best movie we've seen so far. I mean, it's a young year,
but
it's going to be a movie that's going to be in the conversation by the end of the year.
Yeah.
If I can't honestly say be my favorite, but if you were to tell me this was going to be my favorite movie at the end of the year, it wouldn't shock me.
Right.
And I think it's almost definitely in the top 10. You know, I mean, yeah, I don't see how 10 more movies could come out.
Right.
If they do, good.
But. Yeah. We're in a great year. 10 movies better than this come out. Yeah, man, this is great stuff.
Yeah. It's fun to do a mini pod on a very well thought out movie after doing so many superhero comic book things that have so much to, that are still enjoyable on some level, but still like just put the thought into it like this did, you mm-hmm. know? So it's good stuff.
And I'm glad it's a hit because we're going to get to see more Jordan Peele. I mean, he's going to be able to do whatever he wants at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I mean, my God, Blumhouse this year with this and Split.
Yeah.
They're just killing
it. Oh, and they were on
no budgets.
Severe downtrend. Yeah. Like they started off like everything they touched was hits, like Paranormal Activity and all that. And then like everything they came out with after Paranormal Activity was just garbage.
And then I have heard the Belko experiment comes out in a couple of weeks.
That trailer looks nuts.
Mm-hmm. I've heard really good stuff about that, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
I am too, because I love movies like that.
Yeah.
I just do. It's there's something about it where they're just saying, you know what, this probably would never happen, but fuck it. What if it did? And it's, oh man, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
All right, so raves all abound on Get Out.
And it was okay. I'm just kidding. No,
yeah.
It was great.
I give it a C minus.
And I really hope you did not listen to this part if you haven't seen the movie yet. But if you have and you hadn't seen the movie yet, still go see it. We didn't even give away half of it, to be honest. There's still a lot of shit in there we didn't even give away.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. This is one of those type of movies like The Sixth Sense. You can know.
Yep.
You can know what happens and still go in going, man, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So raves all around. Go see it. So that'll do it for this mini pod of Get Out. Once again, Chris Atkins and Barrett Scher and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
I'm going to try to work my way through this here because this is going to be tough. Okay.
On an all new charm.
Is that your CW voice?
That CW guy, man. It was so funny every time.
On an all new Charmed.
I believe he's the same guy, too, who was on the comedian trailer, who was like,
in a world.
And they're like, no, in a world. And they're like,
yeah,
in a land. And he's like, no, in a land either.
In a land before time.
That was great. Like, let's see, it was UPN and the WB became CW, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was,
what are you guys talking about?
Because one of them, it was when he was doing the Charmed announcer
voice.
It used
to be WB and UPN, yeah. And then they became CW.
Yes.
Because that was the weird thing, because Buffy couldn't do a crossover thing with Angel because one was on UPN, one was on
WB. Oh, yeah, because Buffy, after season 5, moved to UPN, and Angel was still on WB.
Because the 4th season was the Syndicate, or the Initiative, wasn't it?
Which
with
season?
Riley, with
That was
Mark.
That was
Lucas.
That was probably like my least favorite season. Yeah. Was first 5. Season 3 is unbelievable. There's like
that's
no
the one
bad
with the
episode.
Principal?
The mayor. It's the mayor is the bad guy.
Oh, the mayor. Yeah. No, that was awesome.
And that's the introduction of Faith, and that's a great season.
Faith was in season 3?
Yeah, and then my favorite like underrated episode is, I think, that season. It's the Zeppo. It's the one. I think you guys actually talked about it.
I believe so.
Where Xander, it's like Xander's adventure, but then on the like outside of that, Buffy's fighting.
Because in the background, they're fighting these big, huge monsters.
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite episodes.
Kaluuya.
Kaluuya.